The EU gets its first new member in 6 years, but it's something less than a celebration.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. First, Egypt, where anti-government demonstrations described as larger than in 2011 have nearly paralyzed that country today. Protesters in Cairo stormed the headquarters of President Mohamed Morsi's political party, the Muslim Brotherhood. Nationwide strikes were called for today, but it's unclear if labor unions will go along. In Croatia, once part of Yugoslavia, it is a different mood today as that country becomes the first new member of the European Union since the euro crisis and the global financial collapse. The BBC's Guy Delaney is in the central square in Croatia's capital Zagreb. Morning, Guy.
Good morning to you.
So, massive jubilation on this day that they get to enter the EU?
Ah, if only, David. I think 10 years ago, they imagined they would be joining this promised land of prosperity that was the European Union. And if that had indeed been the case, then people might have been jumping up and down. But they weren't really, because to be honest with you, a bit of the shine's gone off the European Union as the land of economic milk and honey. And in the same time, Croatia itself has been struggling with severe economic difficulties.
Yeah, to be honest, we've noticed the lack of milk and honey within the EU story here in recent years. People need to understand that it's very hard for a country to align its economy to be able to enter the EU.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about milk and honey. Well, they're two of the main agricultural products of Croatia. Now, Croatia's main export markets traditionally have been neighbors like Bosnia and Serbia. They have the Southeast Europe Free Trade Agreement. That's gone. They're not going to be able to have tariff-free exports to those markets. So if you were depending on those markets as a milk or honey producer, you'll have tariff-free access to 500 million potential consumers, but you'll be dealing with much larger competitors from the other 27 member states.
And this is a country that's had to undergo years of economic austerity in order to get ready for its entry into the EU.
Well, it was a 9-year accession process, which was, to be fair, interminable. Croatia had to pass all these chapters, as the EU calls them, to show that it was ready, all these different structural reforms, anti-corruption measures, financial reforms, you name it, they attempted to reform it. More than one Croatian person has said to me, for goodness sake, can we just get it over with and join already?
The BBC's Guy Delaney in the main square in the Croatian capital of Zagreb. Guy, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Now let's do the numbers. In London, the FT 100 is currently up 1%. Japan's Nikkei rose 1.3% overnight. The key index in Shanghai went up 0.8%. For the U.S., S&P futures are down after the Dow fell 114 points on Friday. The European Union this morning charged 13 banks with antitrust violations. They're accused of getting together to shut out competition for derivatives. The financial data company Markit is also charged. Who knew that running the Bank of England turned you into some kind of Brad Pitt? Mark Carney, the former head of Canada's central bank, takes over as the central banker of the UK today. He's being treated in Britain like some kind of film star, but as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the fawning probably will not last.
British central bankers tend to be a dull breed, but this one's different. Mark Carney's been called the rock star of central banking.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. So sexy, it hurts.
Sleek and good-looking, Carney has wowed the Brits even before he has his feet under the table. Economist Andrew Hilton.
I think we are enthusiastic about him for all the wrong reasons. He's young, he's pretty, he does communications very well.
He's certainly bowled over the star-struck British government. It says the Canadian's the best person to run the Bank of England. A baffling decision, says Ed Haddas of Reuters Breaking Views.
It is baffling. There are many qualified British people, one would think. It's not really obvious that Mark Carney is the greatest central banker in the world.
It is true that Canada made it through the financial crisis largely unscathed, but, says Haddas, that was not really due to Carney.
No, he came into the job after all the decisions that were made that kept Canada safe.
Nevertheless, many Brits are swooning over their glamorous new central banker and pinning their hopes of economic revival on him. Time for a reality check, says Andrew Sentence of the PwC accounting firm. Carney can't work miracles.
There aren't any magic buttons and special levers that he can pull. And there may be too much expectation that he can actually change things in the economy dramatically when he can't.
Indeed, Andrew Hilton says Carney faces the horribly complex task of unwinding the bank's money printing programme and moving eventually to higher interest rates.
It's going to be a very difficult transition from this period of extraordinarily record all-time low interest rates to normality.
In fact, as interest rates rise, Britain's sexy new central banker may seem rather less appealing. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
For the first time in over 40 years, New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art will open its doors today and on every Monday from now on. Many museums close one day a week to cut costs, but as Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, many now feel they can't afford the day off.
6 million people visited the Met last year, and that doesn't include those who tried to get in when it was closed.
Almost every Monday, tourists have made their way resolutely up the steps on 82nd Street and Fifth Avenue and asked, can it be true that we're not open? So we know that there's an appetite.
Harold Holzer is a senior vice president at the Met. He says this isn't about raising more money.
It's going to be a costly venture. We're not expecting this to be in any way a financial windfall. It's really a response to our commitment to public access.
The Museum of Modern Art recently got rid of its one day off. Many Washington, D.C. museums are open 7 days a week, some till well after dark. The Hirshhorn even hosts summer late night dance parties. Ford Bell is president of the American Alliance of Museums. He says the recession actually boosted demand.
We always joke that when times get tough, Americans turn to museums.
Bell says last year, museums had 850 million visitors. That's more than all major U.S. sporting events drew, combined. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And there's an airline in India called GoAir. They've started a new policy of only hiring women, specifically lightweight women, as flight attendants. The airline's air-thin rationale, lighter personnel, saves fuel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.